I want to welcome everyone that has joined us on Zoom. And for those of you who have forgotten or don't know, we've been speaking about the will of God, and we've spoken about a lot of things from this pulpit, and most of them, if you forgot what I said in a sermon, or if you want to revisit something that you heard, or you want to if something that you missed that you want to go back and hear it, you can join us on our website at www.newantiochpbc.org, and we've got all the sermons, not just mine, but sermons from various other Primitive Baptist ministers on there, along with some readings about basic Bible doctrines, some songs on there, and various other things. I've been placing all of the sermons that I've done on the website, and I try to get them put on every week. Now, I'd like to continue on with the subject of God's will. You know, it's very clear that when Jesus came on the scene, it was His purpose to set God's will right as far as what the people knew about it and how they had been practicing it. Their worship had become adulterated, and their mindset had become more along the lines of humanistic, in that they were really boasting in themselves. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 5 of Matthew, in verse 33, he's already started to talk about how the kingdom is supposed to operate, but this is specifically some things that I want to talk about today as a way of introduction anyway. Verse 33, "Again ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time," meaning a long time ago. Y'all have been brought up in this. You've heard it said this. You've been taught this for a long time. "Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths." That means if you say, "I swear I'm going to do this," or "I swear I'm not," He says, don't say that. He says, "But I say unto you, swear not at all." Jesus says, don't make promises that you can't keep. Amen. And He says, neither don't swear by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shall... all those things, you know, have you heard people say, "I swear on my mother's grave," or which I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? So, Jesus, they did the same thing. They just swore by different things. But, this is levels. If you swore by Jerusalem, then that was, might do it, okay? It wasn't a very strong swear. Okay, but if you swore by the throne of God, that was, you were letting people know that you were serious about this oath or this swearing. Jesus says don't swear at all. Don't make an oath or promise that you can't keep. And He says don't swear by any of these things, because Neither, in verse 36, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. You can't. Jesus is saying, you're not as strong as you think you are. You're not as good as you think you are. And you don't have as much power as you think you do. You're not as potent as you think you are. If you can't make one of your hairs white or black, and you're going to swear by your head, you don't have any control over any of that. Don't swear at all. Do you think it's God's will that we not swear ourselves? Not forswear ourselves? It's God's will that we not have a high opinion of ourselves, our abilities, and our power. Right? Now, Jesus says, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil, or out of an evil heart. Be plain when you speak. Be merciful and gracious when you speak, but don't be unclear when you speak. Let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. Don't leave it up to people to try to figure out where you stand on something or what you're saying. Be clear. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth, in other words, Jesus is saying. Don't say yay out of this side and maybe out of this side. Say yes or no. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. This is radical teaching, isn't it? Jesus was radical. He was the original radical. The potent radical. Jesus changed and turned their whole system of culture and life and social intercourse up on its head. And Jesus is saying, you know, what person, somebody sues you for your coat, and you say, okay, here you go, you can have the rest of it too. Jesus is letting us know that His kingdom operates differently than the world. Now, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's how they were saying it. They were saying, God said to love your neighbor, but you should hate your enemy, you know, because they hate you. That's how the world works, right? If you're my friend, I'm your friend. And what does the world say? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. That's what the world says. Right? Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Do you think it's God's will that we do this? I don't think it would be if Jesus didn't command us to do it. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil, S-U-N, his sun, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? Jesus is saying, what is going to set you apart as a child of the Father if you're doing the same things that the world does? The publicans love other publicans, don't they? They love to be around their people, don't they? They love to be around people that do the same thing that they do and have the same thinking that they do. And if you are like that and you only want to be around the people that are just like you, what difference is there between you? Not much. The publicans do the same. You see, Jesus is radical. He's calling us to be loving to our enemies, not just to our friends. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard. Because Jesus expects, and God expects, His children to be different in this world. To not look like the world. That's what this book is about. From the very beginning, when God chose Israel, why did He choose them? It wasn't because they were the best or the brightest or the most powerful or the most mighty or the most in number. He said, I chose you to set my love upon you, that you might glorify me, and I'm going to put a difference between you and everybody else in Egypt. Remember? We talked about that. God is exclusive in one of the earlier sermons. God expects the people that carry His name to be different than the world. He expects us to be the salt and light of the world. He already said that earlier in chapter 5, didn't he, in Sermon on the Mount. And He says, when you do this, you'll be the children of my Father. Not that you're acting like a child makes you a child, but when you do the things and are obedient to the commands of the Father, you're going to be consistent with how His will is, or what His will is. When my son does what I ask him to do, then he's doing my will, and it pleases me. When he doesn't do what I ask him to, which is not often, but when he doesn't do what I ask him to, I almost want to say, that ain't my boy, because I taught him better. You see, you're all children of God. And this is talking about acting like it. Jesus expects His children and His brothers and sisters to act like it. You remember when Jesus was teaching in the house and someone come in there one time and said, Jesus, thy mother and thy brethren are outside desiring to speak with you. And He said, who is my mother, or my brother, or my sisters? He says, them that do the will of my Father, the same are my mothers, my brothers, and my sisters. You see, it's not knowing the will of God. It's doing the will of God that makes the difference. Remember the two boys? that the Father said, go work on my vineyard. Y'all remember that? We talked about that last week. Which one did the will of the Father? Well, the one that said, I'm not going out there to work today in the vineyard, but he repented later and went. It's the doing of the will of the Father that pleases him. Now, Jesus says, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Jesus is calling us to love the unlovable. Why does he do that? Why did he tell us to do that? Because he did. He loved the unlovable. He didn't come to salute people that were like him. You know why? Because nobody's like him. Until he puts his spirit in you, then you're able to look like him, act like him, pattern your life like him. Now Jesus says, and if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? That salute means to act graciously towards. Why should we only act gracious to the people that are like us or our brethren? Or should we be gracious to all? Jesus says, be gracious to all. He says, because I am. Is he not? Did he not just say that the rain falls on the just and the unjust? That's graciousness from God above, is it not? The very fact that the wicked are not annihilated today is a proof of God's graciousness, is it not? Be ye therefore perfect. Well, that's a tall order, isn't it? Be ye perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That reminds me of another verse that says, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's a tall order too, isn't it? He's not telling wicked people that they ought to be holy. He's telling people that have been born of the Spirit of God, that have the characteristics of the Father, to act like it, isn't it? Be ye perfect. What does that perfect mean? Does that mean that we're going to be sinless perfection? No, that doesn't mean that. Perfect means complete. It means that you are complete. Not only, we know that we're complete in Him. The Bible tells us that we're complete in Him. But He's saying, be complete in what I've given you. Do the will of the Father. Be complete in these things that I've instructed you to do. Use the tools that you've been given in regeneration and being born again, and use them in your service to God by being by looking like His children. Using those characteristics. Being godly. Loving your enemies. Be complete as a child of God. Don't leave anything undone. Or incomplete. Or imperfect. Does that make sense? Now, and he goes on. But I want to talk about Romans. Turn over to Romans 12. We started talking about this last week. And Paul, as his manner was, always gave the basis of grace, mercy, and God's work first. He always was in a position of praise of God and of explaining the deplorable condition of men in the first part of his letters. Talked about the grace of God, and then he talks about the duty. And this is a break right here, chapter 12. And he's talking, he says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, meaning 1 through 12, or 1 through 11, is talking about the mercies of God to sinners. And how that Romans 8 talks about there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And then he goes on and talks about the sovereignty of God. And here he starts this chapter 12 out. I beseech you therefore, brethren, and I'm just going to read it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I wonder why he put that right after he talked about not condescending to men of low estate. I wonder why he talked about don't be conceited right after that. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, do you want to know what the will of God is? Paul just gave you a big slice of it. Jesus gave us a big slice of it. Paul is just expounding on what Jesus said. The Spirit is giving him direction and telling us that God expects His people to act differently than this world acts. To be differently than the world is. I want to say that after Paul talks about being not conformed to this world, and we talked about that last time, I took a drink of water. The water was conformed to this cup, this bottle. And then I put it in my mouth, and it was conformed to my mouth and conformed to my throat. Now it's conformed to my stomach. It's taking the shape of whatever vessel it is in. And we ought not to be shaped or conformed to the vessel of this world. But we ought to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know what that transforming, what word it means? Or it comes from, translated from, is metamorpho, like metamorphosis. You know what that means? Same kind of word to explain what happens to a caterpillar when he makes a cocoon and he goes in a caterpillar and he comes out a butterfly. Same word. Did something happen to the caterpillar in that cocoon, didn't it? That when he came out, he didn't look the same. But he looked a whole lot prettier. And a whole lot... He was able to fly instead of crawl. Graceful. Yes, great word. Graceful. Not all hairy and crawling around on the ground. But beautiful and graceful. You see, that's what we as children of God ought to be. Beautiful and graceful. Not crawling around on the ground like a caterpillar does, but flying like a butterfly. The only way that we can do that is to not live our life conformed to this world. Because if we do the same thing that the world does, nobody's going to be able to tell that you're a child of God. You're not going to be honoring the Father, and you're not going to be following His recipe for happiness. Now, Paul goes on, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will is perfect and good and acceptable whether you prove it or not. But you proving it to yourself matters. You proving it to other people matters. Because really what you're doing is you're glorifying God. Did Jesus prove what God's will was? Did He? Did Jesus prove what God's will was? He did. He came and He performed His will. He did whatever the Father asked Him to do. Was Jesus a perfect Son? Yes, He was. He proved it. Paul is telling us that we ought to prove it in our lives as well. Now, and then Paul says the very first thing that I want you to notice that Paul goes into here is that we ought to not, we ought to have the right view of ourselves. We ought to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. The world does not revolve around you or me. What I think about things matters very little. What my opinion is about things matters very little. It's God's opinion and what God thinks about something and how He views it that matters everything. You've heard people say, it's not about you. And you've seen some people that really thought the world did revolve around them. They're not doing the will of God. Because the will of God humbles a man. And women. And children. It's not God's will that we go around pushing each other down and saying it's all about me. It's... If I'm not happy, nobody's going to be happy. That's not the right attitude. That's not doing the will of God, is it? It's not a good character for a child of God to have, to say, or to have very high esteem of themselves. Because the Bible says very plain, Paul says, let each esteem, that means each of you, esteem others better than himself. So this is really, the Bible isn't so big on self-esteem, but it is big on others' esteem. Esteeming others better than you. You know what that's going to require you to do? It's going to require you to stop thinking about things in the natural realm. It's going to require for you to put down that old natural way of thinking, because there's no way that you're going to be happy living in God's kingdom as a natural, conducting yourself by the natural man. There's no way for you to be happy. You have to put down the natural man and mortify that member and that thought. You can't really have a whole lot of self-esteem. And I'm all about feeling good about yourself. Don't get me wrong. That's very good. But we've taken it way far than what we should have. And now we've gotten to the point where we say, it's all about me. It's all about me. The Bible said it's not all about you. It's all about me from God's perspective. And it is all about God's perspective. Now, he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly. That means in your right mind. What kind of mind is that? The same mind that was in Christ. See, why do we do all these things? Because Christ did it. We pattern our life after Him. You can't go wrong being like Christ. You know, a long time ago, there was, I guess about 25 years ago, people used to wear those bracelets. that said WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, I think it probably would have been better if they would have put WDJD on it. What did Jesus do? Or WDJS, what did Jesus say? Not what would he do, but what did he do? And what did he say? You see, because he said things very plainly. And he did the will of the Father. And he did all those things. And we don't have to wonder about what he did or what he said. The Bible chronicles it for us word by word. We don't have to wonder about it. God said many things very plainly, didn't he? He said, love your enemies. That's pretty plain. You don't have to wonder about that, whether you should or should not. Now, think soberly about yourself. You're not all that special. You're really not. I'm not that special. The attitude that Moses had, he says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I think it was Moses. I can't remember. It just come to me. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Instead of living in Pharaoh's house in all that easy, comfortable life, he chose to suffer. Bible says later on in the New Testament with Christ, for the name of Christ. This is Moses we're talking about. It's a choice that we make every day to follow after the new man or the old man, to follow after the characteristics of God or the characteristics that you have from Adam, your natural man or your spiritual man. Paul says, so first of all, think soberly about yourself. Second of all, know that you have a job to do. We're all members of Christ as one body. We're one body in Christ. And yet that one body has many members. And Paul put this, talking about all in a very big way. Not just in the local church way, but in a big way. We've all got jobs to do. And we're members of one body. And everyone members one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Remember, these gifts are given to us according to the grace of God. And gifts are given by that grace. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. And these are the two big headings. You got prophesying, which is the preaching part. And then you got the ministry, which is the part that I and everybody does. The ministerial aspect of the church. And under the ministerial aspect, you have a lot of these down here. Let us wait on our ministering. He that teacheth on teaching. He that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. That means don't be hypocritical in your love. What's a hypocrite? It's a person that says and does not. What are we talking about? The difference between saying and doing. Remember, the will of God is all about doing it, not just saying it. Let love. That means he wants you to not be a hypocrite when it comes to love. Don't say you love somebody and not show it in some way and not do it in some way. And if you don't love somebody, don't tell them you love them. Be honest. Let your nay be nay and your yay be yay. Right? Yay, yay, and nay, nay. Don't lie to people. Be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Wow, you really have to put yourself down to build other people up. A lot of times. To prefer one another means that I'm going to prefer what you want, your needs over mine. You see, that's not what the world will tell us today. What is it? I've got to do what I've got to do. I've got to do what I've got to do to please me, for me. That's what the world says. That's not what God says. God says you prefer one another. These are hard things about the kingdom principles, but they are true and they are the will of God. You know why? Because I'm just going to talk plain. We're going to be in heaven one day. And in heaven, there's not going to be any sin. And in heaven, there's not going to be any big I's and little U's. Why not start acting like we're in that world now? Because we really are. That world is called His kingdom. His kingdom operates differently. He expects His subjects to live in accordance with the laws and the tenets of His kingdom. I pray that this has made sense to you, these will of God things that we've been talking about. I pray that you have a better understanding now about what God's will is. It's not something that's way off in space somewhere that you don't know. Oh, there is part of the will of God that's not revealed yet. We've been talking about the revealed will of God. I don't know what the will of God is for our country or our nation or our government. I don't know what the will of God is for different countries around the world. I don't know what who's going to align with who or whatever. I don't know any of that stuff. That's not for me to know. You know something else is not for me to know? It's when the Lord comes, is when the Lord is coming back. I don't know when He's coming back, but I know that He is. And when because I know that He is coming back, He told me not to be slothful in my business in His kingdom. Because Jesus gave several parables, right, about the servant that said, my master delays His coming. I'm going to start to beat my men servants and maid servants because he won't really know. He's not coming back right now. And the Lord didn't have some good things to say about that servant, did He? But He said, watch, be sober, sober-minded, for the Lord cometh in an hour that you know not. So let's act like His children. Let's act like we're living in glory today. I know it's hard, but let's practice. Let's practice our living that we're going to live one day with Him in glory. Let's practice to the best that we can down here on this earth and show forth the love of God that you have in your hearts to other people. Doors of church are open for reception of members. Should any have that desire, you may come during the last song. I pray that you will be a blessing to someone every day this week. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.